unruffled beat of clouds below your knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? We are the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. We are right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. I'm your host tonight, Greg Audell. I'm proud to serve on the Board of Writers in the Schools, where we help kids tell their own stories. Our scheduled guest tonight, Robin Young Ellis, lives right in the path of the storm headed our way and may have to evacuate livestock in her home tonight, so obviously she is unable to join us. I ask you all to keep Robin and her four-legged friends and everyone who may be affected by this storm in your thoughts and actions. My guests tonight are not guests at all. With Father's Day coming up on June 19th, we decided to make it family night. So what's your story? Our producer, guiding force, and founding host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and my friend, colleague, and co-host, Dr. Warren Holloman, are joining me to share a few stories about a subject we've each been examining for each of our lifetimes, fathers. I am proud of every single guest we have on So What's Your Story, but the rare occasions when I get to co-host with Dr. Hank or Warren Holloman are always among my favorite shows, and I am so happy to share the studios and microphones with you guys tonight.
Well, I appreciate it. My gosh, yeah. Now we're going to have a listening audience of maybe four.
Well, I feel a little strange sitting in Hank's seat. This is a first for me.
I was just thinking, it's kind of a special time of year for me. My son's birthday is May 13th, daughter's is June 11th, and my wife's is right in the middle. And so it's a time of year we think a lot about family, and I think about being a father and a husband. So
I bet, and I hope you get a whole lot of cake for about a month.
Oh, wow. We gain a lot of weight.
That's excellent. Well, you got the rest of the summer to work it off.
Right.
As always, when you and I get together, I urge you to have a special treat while you listen, because it is story time, my friends. In the studio, we're enjoying milk and cookies with our Zen master of the control room and our favorite combat veteran, Jacob Reiner, who's tasked with making us sound clear to you. And that is not a simple task. He always seems to have his eyes and hands on a few hundred buttons all at the same time. And he does it with a total look of serenity, which I would never have. And I want to thank you, Jake, for your explanation last week of Memorial Day and why it's different than any other, quote, holiday. I think your explanation and the retelling of it by those who heard it probably saved a few thousand veterans from hearing the inappropriate Happy Memorial Day that I think so many people have said with no real understanding of the holiday, and that goes for people and retailers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jake, how about you lead off answering our question of the evening? What is your definition of fatherhood, my friend?
Well, I have to say I am not a father at the moment, so I believe a father is there to protect, provide, and to help create a knowledgeable child, one that can function in society.
How long did you work on that? That's mighty impressive.
Sounds like he's taking a speech course or two.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I wonder who my professor would have been.
Damn good, whoever he was.
No, that speaks right to my heart, Jake. It really does. In fact, Warren and I were just talking earlier today about this very complex issue of fatherhood and discussing what we could do to help more kids and very often single mothers find the men that kids need in their lives. It's an issue I've struggled with, you know, much of my life, and it's an issue I've been interested in. And I'll be honest, you know, because of Robin needing to cancel, we came up with this show, throughout the day today, and I've sort of been speculating on what my quest for, you know, fathers in my life has meant to me. And, you know, you need mentors. And what I say to single moms is, you know, I think single moms do incredible jobs, but you can't do everything. And kids need to have positive male role models in their life. And, you know, kids, young people, And by young people, that could be a very elastic definition. You know, don't be afraid to seek out quality mentors in your life. My quest for mentors that began at a very young age has led me to conversations with presidents, meetings in the Oval Office, cross-country trips with friends' fathers, learning how to fish from other friends' fathers. And, you know, I spent my life thinking about this, and I wanted to form an organization, you know, that might help kids, you know, find mentors. And I always sort of fantasized that one day I'd be sitting with Oprah talking to her about it. And that was a dream of mine for a long, long time. And over the course of my life, I've been really blessed to have a number of children, be they relatives, my wonderful nieces, or the children of friends, who I've been able to be a surrogate uncle to. And I like to think that I could be that extra male role model. And through these relationships, I knew more and more how important it was. And even if you come in from the healthiest family, it is only an advantage to a child to have another male role model in their lives. One of my best friends, Brian Brooks, and I were talking about this one day because he lost his father at 13. And we noticed on Oprah's website that she was having a program on fatherless sons. So we wrote in about this organization we were starting called Grout 101. And let me tell you, it's a lot harder to start a nonprofit and a lot more expensive than you think it is. But after 15 years of fantasizing, I found myself sitting on a panel in front of Oprah. And during a commercial, she asked us a question about what we say to single moms. And I said, well, Oprah. I thought, wow, I just said, well, Oprah. I said, you know, what I think is, you know, if you want to make a chocolate cake, you need butter, you need eggs, you need cream, you need milk. And with all these things, you can create something wonderful. But if you don't have chocolate, you're not going to be able to make a chocolate cake. And I feel like if you're trying to raise a happy, well-rounded, confident young man, you need a man in their lives. And Oprah slapped me on the arm and she said, chocolate cake. I like that. She said, will you say that on air? I thought I could die and go to heaven. But my friends, you know, that is what I want to leave you with, is if you see a kid who's struggling or having family issues, please reach out to them. Invite them over. Make sure that they have a good Father's Day. And, you know, those are my thoughts on Father's Day.
That's really nice.
Yeah. It's one of those strange holidays, you know, celebrated by millions and by real retailers. But it's also a very stressful time for many.
Father's Day was never really supposed to exist. Mother's Day did, and they kind of threw Father's Day in because, gee, doesn't that offer some kind of balance? It's true.
Yeah.
True.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Warren?
Yeah.
Let's hear your story about Father.
Sure. Greg, you know that saying, be careful what you pray for? You heard that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what this story is about. So when my wife became pregnant with our first child, that saying became kind of a mantra for me. I thought there's nothing I'll ever do in my life that's more important than becoming and being a father. There's nothing I could screw up worse than this. And so I said, I need to be careful what I pray for. So I said, what's the one thing I should pray for? And so I started asking my friends. The first group said, well, just pray that your child will be as smart and amazing as her mom. So I said, thank you. That's quite a compliment for my wife, and I appreciate that. But it just didn't ring true for me, because I want my kid to be themselves, not to just be a clone of mm-hmm. one of their parents. The next group of people said, well, as long as they have two arms and two legs, you'll be a happy father. And that was very well intended, and I liked it. But then I thought about it, and I didn't like it. At the time, we had, and we still have, a friend, Peg, who is quadriplegic. She's a very happy person, and she leads a very productive life. And I thought, if my child turns out to be like Peg, I'll be a very lucky father. So there's no way I'm going to pray that my child, quote, not be like Peg. Mm-hmm. So the two arms and two legs, I decided that wasn't it. The third group says, just as long as you have a normal kid, you'll be a lucky father. That's all you need to ask for. And at the time, parents were doing starting to do a lot of prenatal testing. And that was the way to find out if your child had any, quote, abnormality, or whether your child was, quote, normal, which was kind of a code, really, for saying they were not disabled or, quote, mentally retarded. And at the time, we had friends who had a child about 7 or 8 months in front of us, and their child was born with Down syndrome. And to our surprise, really, this couple gave their child up for adoption. And they said that raising a child with Down syndrome was not compatible with their busy two-career professional lifestyle. And we respected their decision, but my wife and I talked about it and just said that's not the decision we would have made. We think the children we know and adults with Down syndrome are generally happy people, and they make a very solid contribution to those of us who need some of the positive traits that they have, their perspective on life and their love for people and that sort of thing. So I said, I can't pray that either. So I said, what am I going to pray for? Now, the elephant in the room is that I had a doctorate degree in ethics, and I was working as a medical ethicist in the medical center here. And then it hit me, that's what I want. I wanted somebody who's ethical. Oh. I'd like a child who grows up to be a good person. The other stuff is negotiable, but I would not want to negotiate that away. So I said, that's my prayer. I want my child to be a good person. And lo and behold, my prayer was answered. I mean, from the time she was 3 or 4 years old, she was the kid who, when she was playing with other kids, she was more concerned that the other kids were happy, the other kids had toys, the other kids had friends. If their feelings were hurt, she was the one that would go care for them. She was just naturally altruistic and compassionate. It was amazing. I'd never seen anything like that. Just one little funny side story. When she was 4 and I was about 35, I bent down to pick up something. And you know how when you do that, sometimes when you start to stand up, your knee catches and there's a lot of pain. Yeah. She saw me stop and grimace, and she just got right in my face, and she turned her head sideways and said, "What's wrong, Daddy?" And I just said, I just never seen anything like this. She just picks up on everything. She saw my pain. She felt it. She said, "What's wrong, Daddy?" I said, "Oh, it's okay, Annie. Just sometimes Daddy feels old." And she looked at me and she said, "But Daddy, you are old."
So from that's the mouths of babes.
That's the kind of kid she was. So fast forward a few years. It's her junior year of high school. And we start going to these PTO meetings where you're learning about getting your kid ready to apply to college. It's our first kid, so we didn't want to screw up. So we went to all the meetings. And at one point, a couple of the teachers pulled me aside and said, "Warren, did you know that Annie has a such and such GPA? And I said, "Well, I knew she was doing well. I'm very proud of her." "No, no, no. She has a such and such GPA. And if she pulls it up like 1/10 of a point more, she'll qualify for the such and such scholarship. And you'll be a very lucky father." And I said, "Well, thank you. Appreciate it." But that really wasn't my priority until we started visiting colleges and seeing how expensive it was. And then suddenly I remembered what they had said, and I started looking at her GPA. And I was calculating, and I was studying it. And we come to final exams her junior year, and that's when the grades are, the final GPA is formed for the college applications. And that's when it's all going to decide if she gets this humongous scholarship. And so I decide I'm going to be the best father in the world this week. I'm going to come home from work early. I'm going to do her chores. I'm going to cook her a nice meal. She's not going to have any stress or problems in her life. She's going to focus on her studies. Well, that wasn't exactly the way she saw it. I come home from work. I walk in the house. I smell the sweetest smell you can smell, and it's homemade chocolate chip cookies. And I walk in the kitchen. I think, well, my wife must have come home early too, and she's baking cookies for Annie to help her study. And I walk in and it's Annie. She's listening to the radio. She's kind of singing and dancing and cooking. Every counter is covered with these big, super large homemade chocolate chip cookies. There was at least 100 of them. I said, Annie, what are you doing? Is this a study break? I'll take over now. You get back and get back to work. She said, oh, I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm not studying tonight. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? She said, I was at school today and all the kids were super stressed out. You see, these are the exams that determine where you get into college. It's very stressful for my classmates. I said, I know. I'll take over. You get back there and study. She said, no. So I thought I would bake cookies for everybody and I'm going to get in the car now and I'm going to deliver cookies to all my classmates.
What a kid.
I said, but Annie, no. And then I remembered my prayer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a great story.
And what a wonderful full circle moment.
Yeah.
And what a great prayer.
Yeah.
And I love that you put so much thought into it and you came up with an amazing prayer.
That's amazing. It is.
Yeah.
Great story.
She's an amazing kid, so she made it pretty easy. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like she probably had pretty amazing parents. This is Greg Audell with Jacob Reiner in the control room. Dr. Hank Rubicek and Dr. Warren Holloman on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Hey, Jacob, will you tell us about our proud sponsor, the one and only, the Houston Storytellers Guild?
Well, of course, Greg. The Guild meets the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Printing Museum, which is located at 1324 West Clay. For lots more details, go to www.houstonstorytellers.org and be sure to visit us on our So What's Your Story Facebook to get the scope on our fabulous guests and events in Houston storytelling. But please remember to like us before you leave the page.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Next week, Dr. Hank will be sitting back in his rightful chair that I'm occupying at the moment. And, you know, I don't usually get to say this.
Sounds like Archie Bunker or something.
Yeah, no kidding. Except we bought that one.
I didn't say that. But instead of me telling you about Hank's guest, Hank, will you tell us about your guest next week?
I will be happy to, Greg. Thank you. First of all, I want to apologize to everybody with ears because I'm coughing. And that's because it's Houston and there's mold and I'm sick as can be. But I had to be here because I'm so dedicated. No, next week we're going to have a real treat. I know that Warren knows who I'm talking about, and you might as well. Kent Keith, fabulous teller. Mm-hmm. Really a fine gentleman with his signature style that I think is really all his own. He's going to be talking about friendship, but it's a little bit more complex than that. He has had a very difficult life, and somehow this difficult life has made him one of the happiest human beings God ever created. So it's a quite interesting transformation.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that.
And like every show, no one's going to want to miss it.
Absolutely. Well, Hank, I know that you have many stories of fatherhood, and I was wondering if you would share one of them with us.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity, Greg. I really do. You know, a lot of the stories that I have about fatherhood are difficult to tell for a lot of reasons. And the one that I wanted to share right now is kind of rough, but I think I want it to be that way because I have to think through it. You know, when Warren was talking about him bending down and his knees collapsing underneath him, and I know that feeling because I've been old for many, many years, but I think to myself that a really good father isn't someone who stands tall. A really good father is someone who's able to kneel down and look at a child in the face, you know? And that's something that I've always believed. I believe it's important for a father to be that embracing and that engaging. And I don't know what the appropriate recipe is for a father, but I can tell you this. I know that a good father is usually tested. And that's not always a good thing. But, you know, my father left when I was 14 years old. He wasn't a bad man. He was a weak man and a sick man, but nevertheless, he left. And although I made many efforts to try to reach him in so many years after, it was not to be had. And I didn't interact with him, if you will, until I got the call that he died 4 years ago. And my brother and I had to take care of all of the arrangements. But the hardest thing is when people said to me, I'm sorry for your loss, because I wanted to be sorry. I wanted to be sad. It's one of the reasons why my favorite play is Robert Anderson's I Never Sang for My Father. And singing in the play isn't just about singing. It's a motif about not being around, not hugging, not talking, not looking at each other. So you can imagine how I felt when I came home one day in 1989 and found that my son was gone. His mother took him away, and his mother meant it when she said she hated living here. So she and her father orchestrated it, and my son was gone. As I looked around the house, and I saw all of his toys and memories, and I didn't quite know what to do. And I knew that there would be things that I could do legally, but after just a few interactions with the lawyer, even the one who was on my side, I realized that there wasn't anything that I was being offered that could help me establish a relationship with my son. So, as I told in a story a few months ago at the Moth, I went to Florida. That's where he was gone. That's where he was. Every month for 17 years, and I have all the vouchers, the flight vouchers to prove it for myself. And I kept journals, and I talked with him every day, for about the first 5 years, because I really wanted to be able to communicate with a child. He was only 2.5 when he was taken. But I remember this one Father's Day in 1999, so he was 12 years old, and this particular Father's Day was special because he had a friend over to my mother's. At this time, my parents had lived there, so it was a little bit easier for me to negotiate all of this, and he had a friend over, and he wanted to go to the movies, and I took him and his friend to a movie. And then when we were coming out of the film, they were walking in front of me because, you know, they don't want to be seen with an older man, right? So, and I heard his friend say to my son, you know, my dad's never around. And my son, with rolling eyes, said, oh, mine's always around. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a hell of a statement coming from a son who knows his father lives 997 miles away. And I felt pretty good about that. I felt real good about that because I knew that the quality of time that we spend with our children is everything, but quantity is important. You've got to get there, and you've got to get there, and you've got to get there. And I did. And I've always been a tenacious person, but I never realized I could be this tenacious. But then something else happened. When I went to Florida every month, I would always help him with his homework. So this weekend was no different. He had a homework assignment, and I asked him what it was, and for some reason he wouldn't tell me. I said, come on, what's your homework assignment? I want to be able to help you with it. And he started to tell me a little bit about some of his assignments and some of his classes, and I said, yeah, but I know you like your English class, and I know you want me to help you with that course in particular. What's going on there? And he said, almost in passing, oh, well, we have to write a paper about the favorite thing in our room. Well, that sounds great. I said, what is your favorite thing in your room? And he said, it's not really important. I'll figure it out. I said, well, it seems like you know what the answer is. And he was embarrassed. I pushed him a little bit. And he said, well, my favorite thing is the box that I keep under my bed with the letters that you send me every week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. With the letters that you send me every week.
That's amazing.
And I just smiled, and I didn't quite know what to say. So we hugged each other. And, you know, I realized that at that point, at that very moment, I realized that I didn't sing for my dad in any figurative way. But I realized at that moment that my son sang for me.
Absolutely. And you gave him his voice. Imagine how different your relationship would be if you saw him twice a year.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah.
I mean, that's a totally different relationship.
And the interesting thing is, he is a great father. He is.
I wonder where he got that. I wonder where he got that from.
No, he's pretty amazing. And I'm very proud of him.
Have you ever talked to him about at what age he realized the commitment that you were making? I mean, you know, as a little kid, it's just his norm, but at some point it must have clicked with him.
You know, I never asked him that. That's a good question. I never asked him that. I never did. I said, you know, I'm committed, and did you ever realize that? I never did that. But I know he knows that. You know, I've got 87 journals that I've kept every day for many, many years, and they're all going to him.
Wow.
It's the most, it's a set of raw, serious, highly emotional statements that I've made for a bunch of years. And I think, I know I mentioned to you this book, Mightier Than a Sword.
Yes.
I got a call in 1990 from a woman named Kathleen Adams, who runs the journal Center of Journal Therapy in Boulder, Colorado. Never heard of her before. But she called and she said, listen, Dr. Rubicek, I know that you do some workshops. And at that time, I was also on Ron Stone as a parent doctor. Boy, I had an easy time getting dates in those days. But she said, I wanted you to send some of your entries to me because I wanted to take a look at it so I can use them in a book I'm writing. And I wanted to use you, me, as my showcase in my chapter on fatherhood. And I said, that's awfully flattering, but my journal is not to be published. But she flattered me, and I sent her a couple. And I remember going to that book signing, and I was amazed at how this stranger read something that I had written.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. But I appreciate the opportunity of talking about that.
Well, your story is such a powerful one. It's such a powerful one, and I hope it serves as a reminder to everybody out there that, you know, Hank went to these extreme limits to be the father to his son, but you don't have to go to those limits to help a kid. Mm-mm. You know, you can find a kid probably within your circle that could use your help, and whether it's inviting him out for a dinner or a ball game, talking to him about school, you can make a difference if you choose to, if you choose to.
And I don't want anybody to have to experience that, but many do.
Many do.
Did you know, Hank, that he had the box under the bed?
Did not. I didn't even know he saved the letters, but I sent him a note every week. And, yeah, it was a great thing. Yeah.
That was a great thing. Yeah. Hey, Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Are you still keeping our Facebook page up and running for our good audience members?
It is up and running. And I should tell our audience that if you have any program ideas, you want to be a guest, or you just have some comments, drop us a line at drhank@kpft.org. That is drhank@kpft.org, or leave a comment on our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and either Dr. Hank, Warren, or Greg will get back to you.
Yeah, and please do, folks. I mean, you know, we want to bring you the show you want to hear, the stories you want to hear, and the guests you want to hear. And we only know that if you communicate with us, get on our Facebook page, learn more about our guest and the stories behind the stories. In honor of Father's Day, we're going to close the show with Jim Croce's Cats in a Cradle. Scooter is in next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling and removing the weight of the day from you, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story. And Dr. Hank, Warren Holloman, and myself, with Jacob's help, we will keep bringing them to you. And remember that everyone has a story, and everyone has struggles. If you can make the road a bit smoother for a kid, you're paving it for generations to come. That is an amazing ability. You don't need to be your own. You don't need to have your own kids to be a kid. To be someone a kid can count on. So whenever the opportunity presents itself, be good to each other. I'm Greg Audell, reminding you that as Dr. Hank reminds us each and every week, it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace, my friends.
KPFT is having a one-day conference to strengthen our community radio station. Admission is free. The KPFT Anti...
Hello, welcome to the Inner Side Radio Program. My name is Scooter, and you know, there is one way to bring down these great strongmen dictators, and that's with team... One way to bring down these great strongmen dictators, and that's with team...